It's Tuesday, 5th of October. Welcome to episode 64 of Digital Outbox. Hello, and joining me this week is Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Ian.
And no Chris.
Oh, Chris.
He's busy.
Oh, dear.
What? And I've given up on saying, like, no Shaq, because I think he's given up. So so that's us probably lost Tam now. So, Tam, stay with us. He might come back one day. So how you been doing? Not had you around for a wee while?
No. I've been busy and running around. But I'm back now, back today. So that's good.
You are back, and we might be distracted because we're doing another video one, so it means we can kind of put each other off, much to annoyance of probably everybody else.
And all our listeners, I know, you know, if you suddenly hear Leon, Leon? Who's Leon?
Leon?
That's nobody. Dear, that says, you know, 1 minute in and I'm getting tongue-tied already, you know, honestly, I need to do this a bit more often and get back into the swing of things. But no, if you if we hear you starting to laugh or whatever, then that's obviously me making some funny gestures or faces or something.
Well, it's that I've now actually moved the video screen up to where the camera is instead of me looking down the bottom corner, so that might help. What a noob. To kick us off, we have a trio of updates.
Now, you said you were going to say a triumvirate, which I mean, triumvirate's a much better word. I mean, okay, it doesn't mean trio, but we could have, I mean, triumvirate's a much better word. I think you should go with triumvirate of stories.
I have neither the class nor the accent to carry that word off, but you do. So, well done.
I'm saying nothing.
A trio of updates from last week. We'd mentioned Windows Live Spaces and getting migrated over to WordPress, and we're talking about 30 million, which thankfully we derided at the time, thinking that's a crazy figure. And it was reckoned at tops 300,000 live blogs, of which they expect most to migrate.
Right.
And so slightly different from 30 million that they were claiming last week.
Yeah, 30 million is a bit excessive.
Just a tad. Secondly, Xmarx, which was the most tragic story of last week, never mind the kind of segue guy. The Xmarx, it's not dead after all. So we said last week that it's died, it's 90 days to go, they've tried all avenues, but they've now been surprised by feedback and volume of interest, and they've set up a pledge bank to gauge interest on a premium service.
Oh dear, dear, dear. I did notice that they were looking for 100,000 people to pledge $10 to $20 a year if 100,000 other people do so as well, and they're only at about 27,000 at the moment, and there's not long to do that.
No, and it's basically the deadline's 15th of October, and they're looking for 100,000 people because what they've said is it's $2 million a year to run, which is an amazing amount of money.
Well, it just goes to show, doesn't it? I mean, I have absolutely no idea, clearly, how much these web services cost, but that is a phenomenal amount of money to run and to rack up, isn't it?
It is. And they've looked at, I guess, the freemium model, but what they've looked at is other equivalents in the marketplace, and they reckon it's about 1% to 3% will only pay, you know, compared to the free product. Evernote's running at 2% of the actual users are paying for it, and they've listed up a whole load of free alternatives. Now you can use Chrome to sync with Chrome and Firefox to sync with Firefox, and I'm looking at it thinking there's not a free alternative. I want to sync multi-browsers, multi-platform, but then they let slip that 75% of their users are still Firefox only, so I guess there is a free alternative from Firefox that will just sync across platforms on Firefox alone. So I think it's partly, it is costly to run, and also they're looking at it saying we're going to be out of a market if we start charging for this. People will just go and find a free alternative. 75% because they're using Firefox will just say no thanks.
Yeah,
but I still think that there must be There must be, I still think there's a business there, 25,000 people are willing to pay $10 to $20, allegedly.
Well, allegedly, how much of that can you actually convert? I'm not convinced. But
I've got it. Whoever's running Xmarts right now, I just think pretty lame. You know, just Chris, I think, nailed it last week with the whole, this is just to go and find a buyer or say, please save us. It just looks a bit desperate.
Looks very desperate, doesn't it?
Which is a shame. Finally, and we won't go on about this one because I'll just get all ranty. But we've talked about
please. Some people tune in just for the rants, you know that.
And as we've said before, you've worked with me when I've been ranting. this is hardly ranting.
That's true.
One day, and I know we're digressing, one day I really should just do like a go for it free for all podcast.
That's right, we won't call it a podcast, we'll call it the rant.
Ouija rant. just Ouija on total. Anyway, I might even use fat iron brew for that one, just so I'm a bit hyper. BT has actually won a court action this week. So they'd been asked to supply further details of file sharers. And this is following on from the ACS law story that we had last week. But they had actually requested to hold off from this. They had a legal challenge saying they don't want to pass on any more information because the company they'd been handing it to had handed over data previously to ACS Law via an unencrypted spreadsheet. The court found in their favour and they've basically put it on hold until January 2011. BT have now come out today and says they want a halt in piracy trials. They just say that last week's example was just one of the reasons why that this shouldn't be getting done. And I think there are a number of other ISPs are going to join them in some sort of legal battle. Don't know where that'll end up, but I think that is by far the biggest one to come out. So that'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah, very interesting to see what comes out of that. And yeah, good for BT.
Yeah, well done, BT. We've actually got another. We've got a BT story later on, but we've kind of juggled the order around. How foolish. See, half an hour ago, that flowed smoothly.
Well, we can't have any segues now, can we?
No. Instead, we'll now start talking about 3D. And we've got three 3D stories, which is fantastic.
There was four, but we had to drop one just for the sake of I don't know, what do you call it? I don't know, symmetry or something. Well, anyway, carry on.
I was going to say trio again, but then that'd be wrong.
Trio. No, sorry, that was something else.
That was a chocolate biscuit.
It was a chocolate biscuit. And I'm showing my age now.
It was
but
a
there
chocolatey
we
biscuit, in fact, according to the advert.
Yes, it probably wasn't chocolate at the time. You didn't get chocolate stuff, did you? It was chocolate flavoured. But we digress. Back to 3D, Ian.
I'm tempted to go to YouTube right now and find the advert. 3D, Star Wars is to be re-released in 3D. Starting with Phantom Menace, probably the best of the six Star Wars movies, is to be re-released in 2012. It'll be released 1 year at a time, same time each year. And originally, the reason why it's 2012 is they're waiting for enough cinema screens before doing this. What a disaster.
Dear. The comment on Twitter that I really liked that said that anybody that goes to see this should have their geek card immediately revoked. I'm tending to agree, really.
Well, so the Blu-ray editions are coming out next year. So this is the kind of held off for that. And I guess we'll have the 3D editions coming out over the next decade. And it's how many times has George Lucas wanted us to buy the same film?
It is quite incredible, isn't it? I mean, you can basically fill your living room with versions of Star Wars films, which they've managed to keep pumping out. It's a great money spinner for Mr. Lucas, I must admit. He's doing a fantastic job of milking the franchise for all it's worth.
And not only that, I think it was John Gruber said it, he's actually making the films worse. With every iteration, he's making it worse. You know, it's you know, the three, the kind of first three, that the prequels that he brought out, they just don't stand up.
They don't, do they?
Just don't stand up. So that's coming out in 3D. And I guess at the same, I was going to ask you about 3D and what you think about it, but we'll do that in the next one. because 3D is a TV service this year. So Sky's 3D channel launched at the weekend, which was shown the Ryder Cup and all its kind of puddles and rain. I wonder how rain looks in 3D. I wonder if you felt wet when you're watching because of the 3D rain effect that was coming in. But Virgin trumped them by a couple of days by offering 3D movies on demand.
Very good.
So,
now, do you need special TVs for this?
You need
the special glasses as well.
Or? You need the TV, and at the moment you can only get 3D TV as long as you get the glasses as well. So there's a couple of announcements. I think Toshiba have said by the end of the year they want to have a 3D TV out in Japan that doesn't need glasses, and I think that's when you'll start to see it taking off a bit more.
Yeah, but it's quite something, isn't it? I mean, people have already invested huge amounts in kind of big LCD and plasmas and things, and you know, wanting to go and buy bigger TVs for stuff which is kind of pretty niche, and there's not a huge amount of content, is there, really?
There's only like 3 or 4 Blu-rays out in the UK that are 3D, which is really not a lot.
And I would, of course, I'd like to wait for like kind of standards to settle down and things as well, so that you don't end up with an HD DVD equivalent on the 3D TV front. But
I just don't want to wear. So I'm a glasses wearer. I don't want to wear another set of glasses on top of my glasses. And we were kind of talking about it before, because I can't just launch into it as if this is just like some startling. Hold on, I've just thought of something, but. I don't watch TV without like a computer or an iPad or a magazine or a newspaper or something like, you know, that I'm doing, and that's not going to work with 3D glasses on.
Could be interesting.
Yeah,
it could be the start of a drink problem or something as well. You know, a la airplane and the beer over the shoulder kind of thing. But
at least I'd find a trigger for my migraines. But no, I just don't think the glasses are an answer, and I've not seen the same interest that I saw with people in HD as in 3D. I've seen more people are all excited about HD and what it could offer, and even now you could still say I've not got full HD. You know, it's like ITV, and if you look at what's actually getting broadcast and the same with BBC, it's not all HD. It's only a portion of their content is HD enabled. 3D is a smaller subset of that.
Yeah, but people are seemingly moving. People are moving towards HD and things, and are looking at it much more seriously than they were. It's just it's taken a lot longer than say, you know, if you look at the take up of DVDs and things, that was just massive and really really quick. And I think these things are just more normal, and there's much slower ramp up and things to get to maturity of product.
Even Blu-ray. I mean, me and Shaq were talking. Blu-ray's just not taken off. I think it's just going to be replaced by digital distribution. And I think that's where people are going to move to rather than Blu-ray.
Well, you know, you definitely think so. I mean, you look at we've talked a lot about all the different streaming services and things, and the convenience of just having that and having everything available as soon as you can, and just have it just there at a button rather than having to go and pick something. It just makes a up from the shops or wait for it to be delivered or whatever it is.
Having to mingle with the great unwashed. Especially if you went to Blockbuster. They must be dead by now.
Yeah, but I mean, even the likes of Amazon and that, you've got to wait for however many days for it to
you've got to wait a day! I shouldn't say anything. I pay more to get a game one day before everybody else. So what a sad, sad individual.
Well, there we go.
Final 3D story is a Nintendo 3DS, which in pictures didn't really capture how good it was, and a lot of people were saying it was excellent, but it's been delayed. So it's not really out. I think they're predicting now it's next sort of March, April for a Europe release.
I think that's pretty disastrous for Nintendo missing the holiday season, but maybe not. I mean, there's not much you know, portable gaming wise. What would you say?
I just think I don't know. I think iPhone, Android, all the phones have taken over. I still think maybe for kids, there's still a thing there, and I think there's certain products will never, I guess there's a lot of licensed products from Nintendo, will never come out on any other platform.
Well, I mean, you know, Zelda's is confirmed as a launch
Zelda,
title. Zelda,
Mario,
is...
there's just certain games, you know, to a lesser extent you've got Pilot Wings and F-Zeros and that other things, but they've just got a lot of licenses that just won't appear anywhere else. I think they're probably the last kind of, the last company that could probably do a standalone handheld. I think everything else is going to move on to mobile phones.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Nintendo's interesting because it'll be interesting to see how they can push things forward, because the Wii was so successful, and we're watching that now being definitely on the wane, and with the you know, the kinetics from the Xbox 360s, and you know, that being something that I can see really taking off with kids and things as well.
Oh, definitely. But, I mean, I think that you've got the Kinect, and you've got the move from PS3. I think it's just usurped any unique selling point that the Wii had. You know, and that their sales are down, and it's also affecting, you know, game. I think announced last week that they're, you know, profits are well down. They're shutting another 70 stores. I think they'd plan to do that anyway, because the duplication they've got, you seem to turn a corner as another game shop. I don't know how they can...
Even within the same kind of shopping centre, I don't really understand how they manage it.
It's bizarre
to me.
It's crazy. And also on Game Station, you can go in and see a Game Station in a game, and you're thinking, how does that work? And also the 3DS, I talk about £200. Which, I know it's a new console and it's 3D and it is something that's unique, but you can get an iPod Touch for less than that.
Yes, you can.
You know, and it's... I don't know. But then it's more kid-friendly. We shall wait and see. That's the stunning conclusion we've come to. I actually do want to see one in the flesh. I want to see how good the 3D is without glasses. Henry got my impression of 3D, which was me waving my hands in the air, which has nothing to do with 3D at all. Just look like a loon.
You do. You look like you're directing traffic, Ian.
Exactly. But that's my 3D.
Mind you, if you directed traffic the way you did that, you'd soon get run over, I think, from both directions. But there we go.
Anyway, speaking of traffic, great segue. Speaking of traffic, Virgin are up in their upload speeds. Who needs Chris? For the best segues in the world. So Virgin have medium, large, extra large, and extra, extra large broadband packages.
And T-shirts.
And, well, if it was in Glasgow, and I'm more digressing, but it was the Rangers away strip, and it was in the paper, and it was like extra, 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 extra large. And you just thought, that just sums up Ouija diets. You know, it's... And just for balance, I think the Celtic strips are on the same sizes. So it wasn't just a Rangers thing. So the extra, extra large, which is up to 50 megabit down, is now going to be offering up to 5 meg up. The 20 meg, which is extra large, is 2 meg up. And the medium and large is 10 meg down and 1 meg up. And when I read that, I was like, oh, that's exciting. because I really could do with that extra upload speed.
Well, it does make a difference, doesn't it, if you do. And now, of course, so much of our web usage is or internet usage is uploading stuff, you know, videos or all sorts of things, or any kind of, even if you're doing any legal torrenting and file sharing and things, obviously you wouldn't be sharing content for which you didn't have the own the copyright on. But
absolutely. The voice of reason. I felt there should have been a listen, kids.
I think you're gonna put that in, aren't you?
Listen, kids.
It's all in the edit. Listen, kids.
I'd probably do it at the same time with some sort of dark menacing music in the background.
You probably would.
So all sounded good. This is a free update as well. So nobody's getting charged anything extra for this.
Yeah, Virgin are quite good at doing that.
And I guess the small side effect was the fact that there's a new traffic management system coming out at peak times, designed to adapt to network conditions to ensure time-sensitive and interactive uses such as surfing or streaming high-definition video remain unhindered. I think that's all right.
Well, at least they're saying that that's what they're doing, but But it can be really quite annoying. The problem that Virgin seem to have is that if you've got one of their top packages, the XL or the XXL, that they don't seem to be able to be very, they don't seem to be very good at actually monitoring that's exactly what you're on and what you're getting, and there are a lot of reports of people having to keep phoning up every 2 or 3 months and saying, "Oi, you know, I'm actually paying for the faster service, and I'm still down on the, somehow got moved down onto the lower one or something." So,
which is a good point. I've seen that on Twitter actually from a couple of guys just saying, "Oops, I'm at 5 meg. I should be 50."
Yeah, and you know, is that actually traffic shaping, or is it just, you know, a load of the network or whatever? It's difficult to tell, really.
The thing I always felt uncomfortable about is some of their, there used to be things like, you know, if you download more than a gig and a half or 2 gigs, you will be throttled back for X number of hours. And I always felt some of the limits were quite small. You know, if I download an Xbox game demo, some of them are up at now a gig and a half. You know, that's just a game demo that will download in a few minutes, and then I'll be throttled.
Mm.
Still, I thought it was good. I'm actually tempted. O2 have been a bit sucky for me over the last week. And they've got new packages out as well, which are going to cost a lot more for a lot less. You're not forced to sign up to. You can stay in your old deal, or you can move to the new deal, which they phoned up about and tried to push me into signing up for a year and get throttled on the new one, whereas I could stay with the old one and not get throttled. And the guy started arguing with me, saying it is a better deal. I'm like, what, I pay more for less and get throttled, and it's a better deal? Yeah,
it's a better deal for you, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Honest gov.
Honest gov. All right, I'll just sign up for that.
And then they sent me a text saying that they voted best out of 23 broadband providers.
Yeah, not like, next year.
Who was the list? Was it 22 subsidiaries of BT plus you? So, speaking of BT, that was almost slick. I messed up there. The BT are seeking fibre hotspots. So, communities that are keen to obtain fibre-based broadband are being asked to publicly declare their desire for high-speed net access. Tell us you want it and we'll deliver. So says the website. So you can go to racetoinfinity.bt.com. Tell you. I hope somebody get paid good money for that as well.
I
Race
bet they
to
did.
Infinity.
To infinity and beyond.
There's so many things I wanted to say there. So wrong. So get your community to sign up to this, and the ones who express most interest, they'll then try and get them set up with fibre-based services. So they've committed to wiring up the 5 exchanges showing the highest demand for fibre. Now, 5 exchanges isn't a lot. The UK's got hundreds. So they commit to doing 5. didn't kind of sound great. And initially when I read it, it sounded like, as well, if you're on a big exchange, you're obviously going to get more than somebody in an exchange of 20. You know, there's only 20 people hanging off my exchange.
Do you know the funny thing about this is they probably spent more on the website and stuff to get this set up than it would actually cost them to put it in the 5 exchanges in the first place.
It's just all PR. And so demand is actually, they've actually got a definition of demand. It's not just like if you get the most at your exchange. A minimum of 1,000 votes, and then the exchange will be compared on the percentage of premises served. And most of the people are going to be home users actually signing up to this Race to Infinity. So at first I thought actually that just rules out all the small communities, but they have said that it's not entirely bad news. If 75% of premises express an interest in fibre broadband, they're happy to engage in discussion. So that Race to Infinity doesn't actually sound much of a race.
It sounds like a slow crawl.
Exactly.
The slow crawl of the snail to a portion of infinity. We'll not go to infinity, we'll just go to...
Race to In.
Race to In.
Race to In.bt.com.
Oh dear! But actually, we shouldn't get too we shouldn't slag that off too much, because people like Chris would be desperate to get
Well, and that's it's a shame he's missing tonight, because that story was just, I want to put it in for him, just because I thought he could get him in his community. All the Oompa Loompas round about him could be on there signing up, making sure that the community of little people are registered an interest.
There we go.
That's could if not can, slag him off.
That's if he can get downstairs.
I keep forgetting about that one. Nice open Google.
Have yeah, what's this about? A blacklist.
They have a blacklist. So if you go to www.2600.com/Google blacklist, these are the words that Google Instant doesn't like. So they're basically erring the side of caution. And if somebody types in a word in Google Instant, instead of bringing back the results, just bring back a blank page, just nothing. And you can still do the search. So you can still put it in and press return, and then it provides Google a list of Google results, but it's just not in the Google Instant. So I don't quite know what they're trying to protect.
Well, maybe I'm just kind of missing the point here. I mean, to me, I don't really care what they put on that. But the thing is, there's a bunch of people at 2600.com trying to find what all these words are that are on the Google blacklist. Have they not got something worthwhile to do? I can understand, actually, you know, if you're searching for stuff, actually there should be a whole bunch of things there which they're not stopping the search. They're actually stopping these a whole bunch of things popping up, and to be honest, I quite like that idea that actually there's a whole load of stuff which Google doesn't do and instant doesn't appear in that in the Google Instant, but they will appear on the search, particularly as you're going through stuff. I'm quite happy about that. I don't see it as a problem really at all.
The word fantasies is on the blacklist.
Yes, I think that there are some rather weird and wonderful.
Oh, there's ones there on here that I can't figure out at all. There was another one, and I don't know if I should see it out, because there'll probably just be somebody laughing at me going, "You don't know what that means."
Well,
in fact, I'm not going to make. No, I'm not going to go there.
Don't go there, Ian.
I might go and search there. Later on and find out why it's blacklisted, just purely for the. I have to know. My surname is on the blacklist.
Well, that's not surprising, Ian.
And in that bombshell, we'll move on.
We'll move on, yes. It's become the new Google whack, though, isn't it?
Yes.
It's become the new what words are on the Google Instant blacklist. So
no, even better, it's the words that are not blacklisted underneath that's more interesting. And some of them are great. Anyway. Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes if you missed it at the start of that. Facebook. We were discussing Facebook just before we started as well. Facebook have upgraded photos. So you can now, and last time I looked at photos on Facebook, and I know they keep on saying there's like billions of photos, but they're rubbish. They're always like low quality or low size.
They're not great.
No. But they're now rolling out high-res photos, so you can, and I can't remember the actual resolution it goes to, photo download links, you can tag them, and also, like the new Flickr update, a kind of lightbox interface for viewing them. So it actually becomes a bit more of a photo album type idea. The only downside probably is that there's adverts on the pages, but a lot of the sites out there just now have adverts on pages and you hardly notice it.
Well, Facebook's always had lots of adverts on their pages. So
and you just install Adblocker and it's not an issue.
Exactly.
My question, threat to Flickr?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I'm not sure that it really is much of a threat to Flickr. I mean, the kind of photos that people put up on Facebook are the kind of photos that they want to share with their friends and stuff. And Flickr, it strikes me, is... there's a lot of kind of professional or semi-professional or really keen amateur photographers on Flickr.
Or noobs like me. It's a sliding scale.
Or wannabe photographers. They're actually keen in photos for their own sake. And there's fewer of those kind of photos that people put on Facebook. People tend not to put that kind of photo on Facebook. you put it somewhere else. So I think there's still definitely a place for Flickr. And of course, you've got on Flickr, you've even got basic photo editing tools and things, and they're pushing things in a different direction. So
Flickr's like a community of people interested in a lot of that content. I know there's a lot of people that use it that aren't, but if you look at some of the Flickr groups on there, very active, very focused on
you know
taking images, taking photos, learning the actual art behind it and the skills behind it, and understanding the technologies and all that good stuff.
Yes, whereas Facebook is for, you know, you were at a certain place, you just want to, you know, share with your friends and family some of the pictures of people or the things that were there. It's not, of course, it's not all that. There are people that do put up really nice pictures and stuff on Facebook, but I don't think it's primarily that's the kind of people that use Facebook for that. So
no, I think it's like for me, it's like a quality thing. You know, if you look at the quality images you get in Flickr, I just never see that same quality on Facebook. It's always like, as you're saying, it's almost like that kind of same, you know, Fenchurian type photo.
Yeah, I can't really see, certainly not at the moment, Getty Images wanting to license images from Facebook or doing a deal with Facebook like they've done with Flickr.
You never know. That would be scary.
Never know. Do you know anyone that's been contacted by Getty Images for any of their images?
No.
I've heard of a few folk for that, but that sounds...
I guess that sums up my images on Flickr. Thanks for that. Totally demoralised now. The only time I've been contacting Flickr was the... there was some on... I'm trying to remember the name of it now. It was an online... it was a website that was trying to do like travel guides for cities. And they were using Flickr photos. And they wanted a couple of mine from Glasgow and a couple from Madrid, surprisingly enough.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were guff, but they wanted them. So. This is exciting. Google TV.
Google TV.
It was announced a few months ago. I think the actual do product launches, I think it's tomorrow or Thursday, and some next week as well. But they've actually launched a proper website now. So it's google.com/TV. And they've actually quite a nice demo of actually what's coming, and it's been broken down into, so the first thing is search. And when you do a search, it's not actually can I search the web please, or can I search the apps, or can I search. You do a search, and it's collectively bringing you back results from the web, what's currently on TV, so what's on your channel list, and also apps from your Google TV box or TV. And that looked really nice, you know. So searching for Battlestar brought back episode of Battlestar that's on, you know, next, and the website and the IMDb site, and it was like that's quite nice. They've emphasised full internet via Chrome,
full internet.
Apps.
It's funny, isn't it, that people talk about full internet when really what they mean is we show Flash, right? But actually, Adobe and Flash don't even get a mention anymore when people talk about the full internet. So they don't even, Adobe and Flash aren't even get the PR anymore when people talk about the full internet. Very funny.
And their share price is taking a battering. I think they're on a slippery slope. Anyway. So full internet apps. So it has apps, and this is the bit that annoyed me about Apple TV not having apps, like you know, straight away. So they've got apps. So they've got Twitter, Pandora, Netflix, Amazon, Napster, whole load more that come with the box. And they've got developer access will be available from next year, so developers can start developing apps. And I think that's the next rush. You know, whether it's Google TV, whether Apple TV, which we now know is an iOS device, whether they open it up and say, by the way, you can do apps on it, which I think is inevitable.
I think it is too.
I'm convinced in January they'll say, by the way, here's an update. We can start doing apps now.
Yep, definitely.
Use a phone as remote control, which is a bit of a no-brainer. Customizable homepage, it looked really nice. So it's a mixture of, you could put your favourite TV channels alongside websites, alongside apps. You know, so you could have a BBC One, a BBC Two, and I guess a Wikipedia and an Amazon link, and Twitter, and it was just a nice mix of content. And you can record and dual view and all that kind of good stuff. And the first partners are Sony and a Logitech. Logitech are bringing out a set-top box.
Wow!
At the moment, it's only America, but I hope this comes soon to UK.
Mm.
And it just seems to be there seems to be a real chase now on Apple TV. There's the Boxy Box coming out. There's Roku out in America. Now you've got Google TV. And it's just, it's exciting.
It is. Although, you know, we should say that there's not so much competition here in the UK.
No.
There's Apple TV or a Boxy Box from next month, isn't it?
Yeah. Or, to be fair, a PS3 or a 360.
Yeah, that's true.
And the PS3's got their Play TV box as well.
Yeah, it's just they weren't in your list, Ian.
Sorry. Sorry. Oh, 2 out of 10, must try harder. Tell you what, I won't even do it just now because you'll hear my fat fingers typing, but seeing my notes, I will add them in. Just so when Tam reads it, they're on the list. Would you be interested in picking one of these up? So Apple TV is out now. Is it enough for you?
Yeah. Apple TV. I'm tempted by. I must admit.
I think if apps were there, even though I've got a Mac Mini sitting there, I'd probably just go and buy an Apple TV, just so I can stream and get the apps. I just think that's gold. Last story. And this is me moaning, so I'll try and be very brief. FIFA came out last week. And it's just such a broken game that it just annoys me so much. The big thing they were marketing was team play. You can play with up, you know, it's 11 a side, so you can have 22 players, and you can't even play two players a side.
Oh no!
On the 360, it was just totally broke. You would try and connect to the team room, and then you couldn't connect. You'd actually have to go back to dashboard or switch your Xbox off to connect online again. The worst bit. The only way I'd get decent information was the lead developer's Twitter stream. So the forums were alive with all these errors. And he's putting up, yeah, we're on it. Yeah, we've pushed that updates out. Yeah, it's now fixed. It's not fixed. So we're 4 or 5 days on and there's still the same issues. And worse, they're now saying, if you get lag, well, you can, you know, just let the computer automatically play some of these players. And you're like, what? So I'd be better playing FIFA 10 right now. So very, very poor. And it just to compare, and it, to me that sums up EA. I've always had a fear about EA and just the way they kind of deal with users. And it has been getting better, but just the way they deal with users and they put their games out and how they if they do have issues, they're some of the worst of the worst when getting around to fixing it. So Bungie, in contrast with Halo, it's only been out 2.5-3 weeks, I think. They're still doing weekly updates on what's been happening and what they're doing and what they're looking at and cheating issues and how they're going to deal with this and that, etc. And a playlist update comes out tonight based on how people have been voting on what maps they want to play. They've also updated how cheaters are being dealt with. There's new playlists to keep it all fresh. And again, it's just totally different. You know, they understand they've got a massive community and they need to keep them informed.
Well, they seem to value the community a bit more. EA seem to be just a bit... They just seem to be like these big corporations don't really care much about users. They seem to rush out the games and things as well.
And there is very little difference from last year. You know, they have made some of the front end slicker, but you know, it's a lot of money for not much return.
Enough to switch to PES.
Do you know, because some of the review, because PES last year was awful and the year before was awful, which I hate saying because there is a place in my heart for PES.
Oh.
Well, you remember.
I do.
You remember. And place in my heart for PES. And in the last couple of years, it has been pretty bad, especially online. It's just been night and day compared to FIFA. FIFA have owned it. But this year, brand new engine, they've reworked it. The demo actually played not bad compared to FIFA. I think online's still well behind, but I think it's I actually thought they were dead, but no, there is hope for them yet. I'd love it. I'd just love it, to quote Kevin Keegan.
You've been listening too much to the in-game voices, haven't you?
I have, actually. Oh, I just love it. That's the news. We'll do a couple of picks. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go for it, because really picking up from that EA story, I have to issue an apology from my pick from a few weeks back when I said how wonderful Secret Monkey Island 2 was on the iPhone, and then about 2 days after, might not even been as long as that, after the podcast came out, the issued an update which deleted all your saved games if you'd got the game previously installed. So you could be halfway or three quarters of the way through the game.
That would wind me up so much. And
so fortunately, I managed to hold off updating mine before until I'd completed it. But there were some hairy moments when I'd accidentally hit update all and stop! You know, you can't unplug the internet when there's a Wi-Fi thing on. It's a very, very, very stressful situation.
But, just hold it a certain way. I've heard that kills the signal.
Oh, it never grows old, that does it? But there we go. So I do have to apologise to any of our listeners who went out and got Secret of Monkey Island 2 and then lost their save games. So we'll try and do a better road test of picks before so that doesn't happen again.
That wasn't really your fault. In defence,
it wasn't, but you know, it may well have influenced the. You know, if I'd known that was going to happen, would I have recommended it as a pick? Well, maybe I would, because it was a great game. But anyway.
And in your defense as well, it wasn't your pick either. So you're apologizing for using my pick, which was bad. So
the truth will out. There we go. Anyway, I do have a pick for this week. It's called I Alert You, which is a kind of an alarm for the Mac. It's an open source thing. It does all sorts of fancy things based on the fact you'll take pictures of whoever's trying to steal your Mac and phone home and do all those kind of nice things. And it's completely free. So worth having a look. It's it's on SourceForge, where you can go and download that and have a look and take it away and keep your Mac maybe a little bit more secure.
I'm just seeing as well that it's triggered by motion detection.
Yes, it's all that kind of nice that's, stuff. That's, you know?
Nice. That's nice. Catch the thief. Mine's a Mac app as well, which I felt a bit guilty about. But then we're all Mac users now.
Ramic. We're all Mac users.
The whole world.
The whole world.
And the app sounds wrong. Himmelbar. It sounds like some kind of... No, don't go there.
just don't. Given the football team you support.
Ouch. references in this program, I'm telling you.
That's probably how you found it, wasn't it? You were searching for something else. You were looking to go out after the Rangers match one week, weren't you? You were looking for Hun bars, and you came up with a Himmel bar. You thought, actually, that's quite smart. So what does it do, Ian? does it find all the pubs for blue noses in Glasgow?
No, but automatically it plays simply the best. With the good lyrics, not the bad ones. So it's an application. Do you know nobody else is going to have a clue what we're babbling about now? It's an application launcher for Mac. And I know there's a lot of application launchers you can get. This one is, it sits in your menu bar. So when you first install it, it searches through your app folders and then just presents a list of all the apps it's found. Lots of other apps do this, but the nice thing about this one is you can filter the list. So there's quite a lot of apps that are listed that you will probably never ever, you know, launch. You know, if you go into like utilities, there's a whole lot of stuff in there, and you're like, I don't want to see the icon. I just want to see a nice list of maybe the ones that I'm going to, you know, like podcast capture. I'm never going to run that. Raid utility, chances are I'll never run that. So you can actually disable the application that you don't want to see. And you can also create a custom folder as well. So if you actually wanted to group your apps into, you know, maybe like podcast apps, and maybe have the five or six apps that I use for the podcast, that can just sit in a menu on its own as well. And so far, it's free, it's fast, and I found it very helpful. Even though I usually use Launcher, that was the word. I had to actually go and launch it to find out what I used. What a total fail. So yes,
there's quicksilver and things as well, aren't they? All that kind of stuff.
That's and launchers like that. And was there not one called Butler as well that I think has come out? Yes, there's a few that have really tried to do the same as quicksilver. Mm-hmm. But this was just an alternative. It just sits in your menu bar and lets you quickly launch things. Very nice. And that's a Pix, and that's a podcast. If you want to find out more about us, our website is digitaloutbox.com. And you can email us on info@digitaloutbox.com or on Twitter and Skype as digitaloutbox2.
Digital Outbox 2, is that a new
pick? No, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm just being picky as usual.
Yeah. Sorry. But somebody has to keep me right. Where can we find out more about you?
Well, I'm on Twitter as Talk Rhubarb. That's probably the best place to get me.
And I am on Twitter as Sweeper. And my blog is END.net. I'm actually just checking. I might be at my 3,000th tweet.
3,000? That's, you know...
It's tiny compared to what a lot of people write as well. Oh, I'm 6 away. 2994. Fantastic. Anyway, thanks for listening and catch us again soon. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Job done. Wasn't quite half an hour.
Job done. It wasn't quite, was it?
45 minutes isn't bad.
Oh, that's all right.
I might even cut one of the stories out. I did that last week.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, I still think that Himmelbar would be a great app for one of these kind of location services.
Well, I'm just thinking Hunbar.
Hunbar. Well, Hunbar.
Hunbar.
That'd be great.
Hmm. No, I do like Himmelbar.
Thank you.
I do like Himmelbar. That was the other thing I was reading tonight, but secret wasn't confirmed, didn't want to put it in, but I'm going to mention it now even though I'm still recording. The iPad is the quickest selling non-phone electronic device.
Really?
So even like there's faster adoption of that than things like DVDs and all that kind of good stuff. Just because they've sold so many so quick.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, they reckon they're going to be up to like 5 or 6 million. In 6 months.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Hmm. Stubbornly, I'll probably still buy next year's.
Well, I'm really quite tempted by next year's. I think with a nice, you know, with a Retina display.
I still can't see that happening.
No, neither can I. But they're just awesome.
But then again, would you... Maybe, you know how everybody rumours about the 7-inch? Maybe the 7-inch is a Retina display.
Maybe.
And that would be... I'm just looking at the iPhone now and just thinking of what a 7-inch would be. That would be a nice size. Mm. With a Retina display. What is it? But see if they could do a Retina display on an iPad. That would be like... Oh.
Well, they're also talking about, you know, those touchscreen iMacs. Now, they look really... The design for those looks absolutely fantastic. The way you kind of pull it towards you so that you can type on it. I think that'd be great.
And you know what the worst thing is? The website came out today and says, no, we've got nothing to do with that rumour. Even though they put it out. So they seem to have debunked their own rumour. Yeah. Which sounds a bit odd. Because it did look... It's been talked about too many times. I think something will come of it.
It was based purely on the patent application.
Yeah, I think something will come of it. Maybe not now, but something will come along with a touchscreen.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon. For the rest of your life.